This episode is part of the Pool's Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. It's one way we serve local officials through integrity, public service, fiscal responsibility, and operational excellence. As always, please direct specific questions about coverage to your member services manager.
Welcome to episode 24 in the Risk Pool's Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. I'm your host, Scott Houston. In recent years, we've heard lots of information about what's driving rates. The cost drivers are well known. The pandemic, Winter Storm Uri, inflation, supply chain issues, all the things that we deal with as consumers on a daily basis. In this episode, we want to tie all that together in a way that hopefully helps you understand rate increases by the pool in light of the bigger picture. And to do that, I'm going to interview Jeff Thompson, the pool's executive director. And then we'll do a subsequent episode with Lindsay Fields, the pool's deputy director and COO, on reinsurance specifically. So let's get right into it and visit with Jeff. Okay, let's start off by talking about some of the things we've been hearing about in the news. Things like the pandemic's lingering effects and the importance of taking care of our first responders who get COVID and the high costs associated with that, the unprecedented statewide winter storm, and more recently, inflation and supply chain issues. Tell us your perspective on those things as executive director.
Well, there's a lot in there, Scott. We've spent the last couple of years dealing with substantially those issues. Staff and board always start from a place of keeping rates as stable as possible. But the items that you've mentioned, nearly $100 million in pandemic-based workers' compensation claims, adequately funding new benefits for public safety as a matter of public policy that is set by the legislature, wacky weather events like the ice storm we had a couple of years ago, exacerbated by inflation in every sector, those make keeping rates the same nearly impossible.
So it's really tough, right? It's about balancing our rate stability with, of course, making sure that the pool is financially sound to take care of members who have losses.
Exactly. It's a challenge to keep rates low and still remain the gold standard by which our members can count on for the best protection. But what I love about what we do is that our very model of governance ensures that those competing priorities are not only discussed, but consensus and balance are found. Our staff and our board take these precepts of rate stability and doing what's right by our members, those precepts within our core values, they take this very seriously, and it's baked into every decision that's made. We also recognize that if we get it wrong, our members are going to vote with their feet. And the last couple of years, we've had nearly 100% retention of the membership, and in fact, added several more over that time.
So let's focus on property rates for a minute. So this upcoming fund year, members will see a 6% rate increase for real and personal property coverage, along with a 12% inflationary factor to scheduled building values, and an 8% inflationary factor on scheduled building contents values. Tell us about those increases and why the board thought those were necessary.
Well, there are a number of factors that are driving those increases. I think inflation, everyone by now has a good understanding of that because, we're seeing that in every facet of our lives. But property coverage is driven by multiples of that inflation. And what I mean by that is that when you take the costs of goods and the increasing cost of labor, and then add escalating transportation costs, which require getting all of those goods and people to the places they are needed, the 5-7% rates are stacked upon one another and create a bit of an exponential increase. You're seeing other commercial carriers either leave the state or severely restrict their capacity or coverage because of the high cost of these losses.
And that's crazy. I mean, I've seen a number of news articles about large insurance companies pulling out of certain markets or having stipulations to provide coverage. We can't do that. We're the provider for cities. And one thing that members, I think, need to know is that we'll talk about our finances and how stable we are and how we manage our money, but we don't take on losses all by ourselves, right?
Right. Yeah, we have nearly 40 different reinsurance partners who we cede part of our risk to for those high claims. And, you know, we pay a premium to those reinsurance partners. And those reinsurance partners have their own reinsurance partners who take part of their risk. This is a bit in the weeds, but those retrocessionaires, the reinsurers to the reinsurers, if you will, are demanding significantly more to put their capital at risk when they invest. Those prices, they get passed on to the reinsurers who then pass it along to us. Just to give you an idea, in the upcoming year, we'll spend 52% more for our reinsurance program this year than we did last year, or nearly $15 million in real terms. But we're not passing on that same type of increase in cost to our members. We're absorbing a good bit of it to stabilize the rates as much as we can, and adjusting over time. The practical matter of it is that the same coverage costs more everywhere. And those increases you mentioned are the product of the balancing of the many objectives and competing priorities for the pool.
And that makes sense. And of course, like we've mentioned, the number one thing is making sure that we've got enough money and enough reinsurance to make sure that members are taken care of. We know that the state of the pool's finances is in excellent shape. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I think members are interested in some more detail about how the pool stabilizes costs.
Yeah, I could talk a long time about the stabilizing features that the pool employs, but rooted in sort of that lengthy analysis is the time-tested, rock-solid financial practice of diversification. Diversification is the one free lunch that you get in finance. And it's essentially that we don't have to put all our eggs in one basket. And I'm not just talking about the pool's investment portfolio, which is also well diversified. That's part of it. But I think of it this way. The pool has nearly $1 billion of assets under management. We're able to leverage that money to provide three main lines of coverage: property, liability, and workers' comp. Those are three very distinct types of coverage. And the fact that roughly one third of our revenues come from each of them means that we're diversified across the types of coverages that we offer. The pandemic was a bit of an anomaly in that one year we got tons of new COVID workers' compensation claims, which parenthetically were the second largest loss in the pool's history. And on top of that, we got the third largest loss in the pool's history with the winter ice storm. But what was going on with liability coverage at that time? Truly, you know, not a lot. Things were very quiet. Courts were closed. Things were moving slowly. And it actually helped to stabilize both the workers' comp and property experience we were having. We also have a great deal of geographic diversification because of the sheer size of the state. Hurricanes and hail, for example, hit in pinpoint areas, not wide swaths of the state. And that's why that geographic diversification also pays off.
Let's continue and talk a little bit about this diversification theme. And I think members may not understand about how different types of coverage that we have pay out on claims, whether it's immediately or maybe it pays out over a period of time. Tell us about that.
Well, it's rare we see two lines of coverage significantly underperforming at one time. But even if we did, the benefits of diversification, that really pays off. I could go even deeper and talk about cash management and the very diversified nature of our cash management needs based on those types of coverage. For example, property is paid out very quickly, normally within 6 months. Liability claims, on the other hand, have a maturity of anywhere between 6 months and 3, 4, possibly even 5 years. And then the most expensive workers' compensation claims, namely the death claims, those are paid out over periods of multiples of years. It almost looks a bit like a pension system. we set up a claim a couple of years ago that we expect to make payments on for over 50 years. And we still have open claims from the 1970s. So that diversification of cash flow is really one of the stabilizing features of the risk pool.
I think that's one of the most interesting things that a lot of city officials that I've talked to weren't aware of are those workers' compensation claims. When a first responder or other employee dies, if they're married, their spouse is entitled, in most cases, to lifetime income benefits. So that can account for millions of dollars over the course of the claim, but it's being paid out, like you said, over decades in some cases. So I think that's interesting as well. So, you know, you and I were talking the other day at the office, and you threw out a statistic about the pool's budget in comparison to the largest cities who mostly self-insure their things. And I thought it provided a really good perspective. Can you share, you remember what I was talking about? Can you share that with the members?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that the pool has accumulated nearly $1 billion in assets, and it's kind of hard to get your arms around those kind of numbers. Let me put that in context. The risk pool is able to use those accumulated assets of nearly $1 billion to finance the coverage needs for 95% of the cities in Texas. And that number, that accumulated asset, or the accumulated assets that we have, that is less than the annual budgets of each of the top five largest cities in Texas. And our own annual operating budget, which is somewhere around $300 million, is less than half each of the top 10 largest cities in Texas. In other words, the mechanism that we're using and really leveraging the power of that diversification and the camaraderie of our members, that's incredibly efficient. And much of that is really due to the diversifying nature of the way that the pool goes about its business.
I think that's a really good point. And you mentioned 95% of the cities in Texas that we cover for less than the annual budget of the top five cities. And I don't know that all city officials know that there's 1,200 cities in Texas, and the pool covers, you know, 1,100 or so, about the same number as the Municipal League has as membership. So you're talking about, you know, over 1,000 cities that's covered for that amount. So it's really a stunning statistic to talk about. Well, this is really important stuff. And I think the more that we can share with members about rates and contributions and why things are the way they are, the more members will continue to trust in our partnership. So let me ask you this. Is there anything else that you'd like the members to know while you've got kind of this pulpit to speak from?
Yeah, I mean, you've been talking about the diversifying nature of our coverage offering, and we are about to categorize cyber as a fourth major line of coverage. It's a strategic initiative of the pool's board to make sure that our members have a modicum of coverage in that area. I think Lindsay's going to talk really more about the specifics of that program in a future episode, but generally speaking, providing cyber right now is a big unknown. That cyber liability coverage, you know, coverage for things like ransomware, which has been in the news and periodically is in the news. We're being very careful about the way we roll those coverages out and structure the finances. We've got nearly 50 years of loss history for workers' comp and liability and property, and the overall industry has well over 100 years of history. We understand the broad trends and triggers within those three major lines of coverage. Cyber, however, is really at a nascent state. There's not years and years of loss history. And quite frankly, no one knows what a catastrophic cyber claim looks like on a global or national level. So we're using the very precepts that I've already talked about: stable rates, loss prevention, a governance informed and driven by city officials. And we're overlaying the cyber exposure on that. And staff and board is working to thoughtfully build the pool's capacity, both from an intellectual capital standpoint, a thought leadership standpoint, and a coverage standpoint. I'll expect that we'll start a full-fledged cyber fund next year. We kind of have a side coverage now that's available, but that full cyber fund next year, we'll ask members to likely sign new interlocal agreements for that fund. So stay tuned on that one. We're beginning to see some big changes in the cyber coverage marketplace, and we're trying to position the risk pool in a way that, you know, continues to help our members with that ever-changing risk.
I think that's a great point. You know, cyber is one of the few things that a member can really have a great deal of control over, whether they get it hit by a cyber attack or a phishing campaign, because in many cases, it's an employee who's clicking on a link or entering information that starts that whole process. So I think it's really important, and I'm glad you talked about cyber as the kind of the last thing to mention. I do want to mention that the pool is making efforts now, in addition to other podcasts that you can listen to. There's two podcasts, How to Protect Yourself from Cybersecurity. We have a cyber risk services manager, Ryan Burns is his name. If you have questions about cyber or about anything else that Jeff has talked about in this episode, be sure to contact me. You can find the contact information on the webpage, and we'll be happy to answer your questions or visit with you about what's going on. So, Jeff, thanks for joining me today. Appreciate it.
You bet, Scott. Thank you.
And in a future episode, Jeff mentioned we'll talk a little bit more in detail about how the reinsurance process works with Lindsay Fields, our deputy director. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk soon.
To review written materials associated with the presentation or to ask Scott a question, please visit www.tmlirp.org. and click on the Stronger Together podcast link. Please remember that the information in this episode is provided for informational purposes only and doesn't constitute legal advice. We recommend that you review the podcast and the accompanying written materials with your attorney prior to taking action.